Psalm chapter number 13. Here's a psalm of David, and David's crying out to the Lord here, and I don't know if you've ever been in times of despair or times when you pray and you wonder, man, where's God? Anybody ever felt that way? I'm sure many of us have been there, and if you haven't, you'll be there at some point in your life where you wonder. I mean, you know that God's real, and you know that you've seen God perhaps work in your life. You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven, and you've seen some wonderful things. But there's times that we go through in our lives where we can pray and pray and pray, and we wonder, does God hear our prayers? And we wonder if where is God? He said he's going to be there when we need him most. Where is he? And we go through times when God, it seems like God is just silent. And that happens. And it's not always a bad thing. It doesn't necessarily mean, it could mean, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're backslidden. There's a lot of people that go through times in their lives where they have experience like this. And as I was studying some of this, and it's just amazing the different things that people may go through. You hear different preachers that go through different things. I remember listening to down in California, Doug Fisher, and hearing his testimony and some of the wild things that he went through as he went through what he called the school of humility. And God, sometimes in those times you wonder, where is God? And you're going to go through times like that. And here we have David in chapter number 13 of Psalms that says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long? I mean, here's David, a man, you know, after God's own heart. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Man, it's just an ongoing thing. It's like, man, he's struggling. And how long shall mine enemies be exalted over me? And then he says, consider and hear me. He's trying to plead with God here and to convince God to hear him. O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Look, God, I don't want my enemies to rejoice over you getting the victory, over the devil getting the victory over me. God, I want you to hear my prayers. God, I'm pleading for you. And they're going to laugh at me and they're going to say, yeah, where's your God at? But he's pleading with God. And then notice how he wraps it up in verse number 5. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Here he is rejoicing again and singing. And we're all going to go through times when we feel like God is just silent. And what are you going to do during that time? What are you going to do? That's the title of the message. What are you going to do when God is silent? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us. God, we need you. And Lord, during these times, they're very, very difficult. And Lord, here we have David going through a time when he just felt like you had forgotten him. And Lord, I know that I've been through times like that. And Lord, I know that others as well have been through some. I believe there's people in this room tonight that perhaps are in the midst of that. And Lord, it's just all around us. And so, God, I pray that you'll help me. Lord, I don't feel adequate to preach the word of God like it needs to be preached. But I know the Holy Spirit can do a work in our hearts and our lives. And so, God, I pray you'll do that. I pray that you'll speak through me in a powerful way that only you can do. I pray that you'll use my tongue. I pray that you'll give me a clear thoughts, Lord, as we just preach the Bible. And I know, God, there's several verses here that I'll be reading, and just to read those verses will help us, but we need the Holy Spirit to intervene here in this next few minutes, Lord. I pray that you'll bless us. I pray that you'll help us and encourage us, dear God, to realize that you're always in control. And God, we can sing again and we can rejoice again because you're good to us. And we can be like David and because you have dealt bountifully with us as well. We'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do you do when God is silent? Realize this, that no one's going to escape it. You're going to get to that point in your life where you feel like God is just not there and He's silent. And it'll happen at least once in your life. You'll feel like maybe you're going crazy. We've been in this transition for a while, moving from Pennsylvania, getting here, and our lives have been that way, to be honest with you. It's just been up and down and a lot of things, a lot of changes and a lot of new things in our lives. And as you face changes in your life, lots of things can trigger these types of feelings in our lives. Maybe you got a notice that you're being laid off. And that can trigger something in your life, and you just feel alone, and you're begging to God, Lord, you're going to have to meet the needs here. And you're in debt over your head, and you're thinking, God, where are you at? I need you during this time, and you're wondering how you're going to pay your bills, and how you're going to make it through, and how you're going to put food on the table, and how you're going to pay your school bill, and how you're going to pay for the rent, and all these things that go through your head, and you're thinking, God, where are you at during these times? God, the bills are here, and are you going to meet this need? And you're wondering, where is God when I need you? Maybe a spouse leaves you, and you're thinking, man, where's God? God, this is the time right now that I need you. Where are you at? I need your help. I'm calling out, and I'm begging you for your help. But where are you, God? It just seems like you're silent. Maybe you're involved in a tragic car accident, or somebody that's close to you is involved in a tragic car accident, and at that time there you're begging because maybe that individual or you are on life support, and somebody's begging for God and crying out to God and say, God, where are you at? God, do you hear my prayers? God, we're begging to you. We want to see a miracle take place. My sister-in-law, I mentioned her with this tumor, and we're begging and we're hoping that God is going to do something and heal her again. And sometimes we wonder because we talk to her and we listen to her as she talks, and her mind is just not there. And she thinks she has more children than what she has. And you're thinking, God, where are you at during these times? I mean, they're just young. They have two young children. And God, we need you during this time. Where are you at during this time? And sometimes it can discourage us and we wonder, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And maybe we get some a medical diagnosis that scares us. Maybe we receive some discouraging news. And maybe we're in the middle of something that's transitioning in our lives and we're trying to cope with it. And we're going to God on a daily basis. I mean, maybe you read your Bible every single day searching for God. Where are you at, God? But nothing speaks to you. Maybe you're on your face and just praying, God, please speak to my heart. I want you to use me in a mighty way. God, I want you to take me and I want you to do something with my life. But God, where are you at? Where are you at? Sometimes we'll go through times in our life like that where we just feel like God is silent. God, I'm struggling. Man, and you don't want to quit because you know it's the right thing to do to keep going on. But you're wondering, man, is God really real? I mean, I've seen God work in my life, but where are you at right now, God? Lord, I've seen the miracles, but what about right now, God? Where are you at? Why is it that I cry unto you day after day after day after day, and it seems like you've forgotten me? Where are you? And here we have David here. How long, God? How much longer do I have to keep calling unto you? How much longer do I have to wait here? God, have you hidden yourself from me? Where are you, God? And David's in distress here, and we go through times like that, and including, and I'll be honest with you, I met with Pastor this week, and I was frustrated. I was frustrated. And I said, I've gone to God just like this here. And I'm frustrated sometimes. Pastor would get up on Saturday and he would preach a message on, man, you read your Bible, and it ought to just, he said, I don't understand when the Bible doesn't speak to you. And I'm thinking, that's me, God. Man, I want this Bible to come alive to me. I know I struggle with comprehension, but God, I want something to happen in my life. Every time I open this book, I want something to happen. And it's happened before. God just spoke to me before. And God, I read my Bible every day consistently. I mean, every day, God. What's going on? Why is it that maybe I open up this book and where you at, God? I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. And I want you to speak to my heart and I want you to do something beyond what I could ever imagine you could do with me. But where you at, God? I come into the school and most of our teenagers that I teach in the school understand this. I'm teaching Bible in our Christian school. And a lot of times I'll walk in there and I'll think, man, is this what you really have for me, God? I'm reading notes in a Bible class, and as mundane as they are, I'm thinking, God, is this really what it is that you want me to do? God, am I really making any kind of an influence? I mean, I'm reading notes and they're filling in little blanks and I'm thinking, God, is this really what you have for my life? And sometimes in my mind, in my flesh, I think, God, where are you? Man, I want this thing to come alive to me. I don't want to just stand up here in front of a class and just read a bunch of words and this is my life. I want God to use me. I don't know about you, but I want God to do something with my life. And I want to know that God's there. I want to feel God's presence. And I can't go through life and just not feel like God's doing something in my life and using me somehow. That may be a typical man, I don't know, but we have to feel like we're successful in some ways. I don't know but what it is, but it began to bother me. I wanted to do something about it. And then I'd pray and I'd beg God. The littlest things would frustrate me. I mean, the littlest things would throw me off and I'd chew my kids up. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about because you do the same thing. But it would set me off and I would say things and things would come out of my mouth that ought not be coming out of my mouth. Brother Hawks, you're on staff. You know, it doesn't matter if you're on staff or in the pew. We're affected the same way. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight because I want you to understand you're not the only one that's in this position. You're not the only one that's discouraged and you're wondering, man, where are you at, God? When are you going to do something with me? When are you going to grab a hold of me? God, where are you at? I want to hear from you. And I want to hear from you on a daily basis. And you might be going through these things where you're feeling like, man, you're just going crazy. I'll be honest with you. Since I've been here, I've already gone to the doctor and asked him. And I told him, I said, look, man, I'm just discouraged. I mean, I'm exhausted all the time. And something's not right, doc. I don't check my thyroid or something. Am I turning into a woman? I don't know what's going on. I'm just having different crazy things going on. Honestly, in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going nuts. I've even said the statement, put me in a nut house, man. My brain's going nuts. And we wander through those times. And you may not understand that unless you've been in that position. You may not understand what that's like until you're in that situation. You wonder, God, where are you at? And your mind begins to play. The devil starts to play in your mind and he thinks you're going crazy. He makes you wish that you could go back to the old life. No matter how difficult it really was, you want to go back to Egypt. And that thought crosses your mind. You think, oh, it was a whole lot better back there. And God's working in your life and you don't even realize it. But you go through these things here. You think that no one else has ever gone through this and survived. And then you look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You can make it. And you're not alone. You know, it's amazing. I've been going through this several weeks and several times in my mind. I said, okay, man, I got to get some help. I'm struggling. And again, I'm not living in wicked sin, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I said, I'm going to be helping pastor. Pride sets in. And then I got to thinking, no, things are fine. And I didn't go get help. And I said, I got to go get some help from pastor. And then pride sets in, and I'm thinking everything's just fine, so I don't go getting help. This goes on for a little while. Finally, one morning, man, I stepped out of the car over here. I got out, and maybe sometimes you can tell on your countenance if something's not right, but I got out of the car, and I'm like, God, help me. I've got a wonderful family. I've got a wife that loves me. I've got a church that you're doing something in here. Everything I've always dreamed of. Man, we got an awesome Christian school. Lord, your blessing in our life. You blessed us. God, our finances are in order. Things are going wonderful here. Why is it? What's going on, God? Why? What are you doing in my life? Where are you at, God? And these are going through my mind. I got out. God, help me. I just got out of the car and like, God, help me, please. I just had enough. I went to our staff meeting. Of course, Brother Steve always asked me to pray, dear Jesus, help us out. And I just tried to keep a good attitude through it and pray and go through that. And then I went and met with Brother Steve afterwards and said, Brother Steve, I said, man, I don't know what to do. My brain's going bonkers. The littlest things are setting me off. My language isn't what it should be. I see myself going down a road that I do not want to go down. No, I'm not living in wicked sin, but I'm just discouraged for some reason. Something's going on. It's not right. What do I do? Now, he may not appreciate me telling you this, but I'm going to say it anyway. That's what he told me. We sat down. He said, that was me 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking, you? Man, you got it all together, man. Good night. You got this thing together. Man, you're doing everything. Good night. You got it all together. You know, that's what you think sometimes. You think just because we're staff members, we got it all together. You think because somebody's a deacon, they got it all together. You think because somebody's been in the Christian life for 30 years, they got it all together. And we face the same things. We face the same things. And you're going to go through times in your life when you think, man, where's God at? Where's God at? I was reading through some of these things here, and I got this, I think I got it off the internet, and somebody else had put some of this down in thought, and these things I've already listened. But one of them was, you wake up at 3 a.m. and panic sets in. I was thinking, how did they know? Man, that's been going on regularly, 3 a.m. What in the world? It must be a common thing. God must have it on His time scale. And then it says, you may not talk about it to anyone because they wouldn't even understand. You think that there's something wrong with you. Why can't you just turn things around? You see, you go through all these things and it goes through your head and you're trying to figure it all out. Sometimes God is silent. And sometimes there's a reason for it. So what do you do when you can't hear God's voice? What do you do? First of all, examine your life. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:27 talks about when we do the Lord's Supper, we talk about this, let a man examine himself so that you don't take the sacraments unworthily. You know, sometimes it's good to step back and examine your life. Okay, God, am I doing something wrong? God, am I doing something wrong? Ask yourself, is there any sin that I need to confess? And the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It may be you do have some sin you need to get taken care of. That's okay. We're all sinners. But it may be that you don't even realize the sin that you're involved in, and you go to God and say, God, point that out to me. Because you want to get right with God. You want God to use you. You want God to do something with your life. You have a sincere heart. You want to please God. But there's that sin that's keeping you from getting your prayers answered. Ask yourself, do you have wrong motives? James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ask yourself, am I doing my bus route for the right reasons? Am I serving the Lord for the right reasons? Am I giving to the church for the right reasons? Ask yourself, are your motives correct? And if they're not, let the Holy Spirit work in your life and correct those motives. Ask yourself, is there anything or anyone that I love more than God? Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And you're frustrated because you're trying to live in the world and you're trying to live for God. It may be that that's what it is. Maybe you need to give something up in the world. Maybe there's something that's not necessarily a big sin, but it's a weight that you need to give up that's hindering you from doing the work of God. That may be. Let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you and get it right. And if the Holy Spirit does reveal something to you, then ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for forgiveness. He's waiting and willing for you to come to Him and ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's just waiting. He's just wanting us to come to Him and get right. And then I got to go and talk with Pastor and praise God that we have a pastor that loves us. Man, what a refreshing thing to walk in there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, great, man, he's going to think down upon me. And I wasn't doing anything major wrong, but I just felt like, man, I'm on staff and I should see God doing something wonderful in my life. And Pastor said, look, man, you know, we sat down and we talked and he tried to help me. And then he even gave a devotional on Saturday. I was the one that was in that meeting with him. I said, and he showed me, he opened up Joshua chapter number 3, I think it was, and he showed me how he outlines things. What a wonderful thing. I want the Bible to come alive. Hey, listen, if you're struggling with something, don't be afraid to go get help. Go to God. Confess it to Him, and He'll help you with it. Second thing, so the first thing I said, examine your life. Secondly, accept God's sovereignty. God is not obligated to answer us. He's God. He can do whatever He wants to. I mean, He created heaven. He created us. He can do whatever He wants to with us. He can do whatever He wants to. A.W. Tozer said this, God is said to be absolutely free because no one and no thing can hinder Him or compel Him or stop Him. He is able to do as He pleases, always, everywhere, forever. Hey, He's sovereign. God's God. God can do what He pleases. You know, sometimes we go through these times where it just seems like we're silent. God is silent. I remember when I was a little boy, and you're not going to believe this, but I was misbehaving, and I was in trouble. And my dad, I remember this happened on a few occasions, where my dad, actually it was my stepdad, he would send me downstairs to my room. And I hated it. Everybody else was out playing and having a good time. I could hear it going on. They were out with our friends and having a good time. And I would cry out, Dad, please, can I just explain to you? Dad! And I'd call for Dad. Silence. Dad! I'd lay on my bed. I knew I was in trouble. I couldn't leave anywhere. So I'd lay there on my bed and I just called out for him. I figured if I could frustrate him, maybe he would come down there and talk to me. Dad! 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 And I just kept calling out and calling out, but no answer. Now I'm a parent. And that same thing happens to me. My kid has done the same thing, and I'll do the same thing. You know, I'd rather be whooped than not for my dad not to come down there, for me to sit there and call out to him and not hear. I'd rather be whooped. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, I'd rather God just spank me than for me not to hear from Him. I want to know God's in my life. I don't like going through times in my life to where I feel like, where are you at, God? God, just spank me. I mean, do whatever you need to with me, but I want to know you're real in my life. I want to hear from you. And if we're not hearing from God, it ought to bother us. Man, we need to know that God is real. But don't lose faith yet. Job faced the choice of acknowledging or rejecting the sovereignty of God. God is always in control, and we can trust Him. Don't ever forget that. God is always in control. He is sovereign. The next thing, number three, listen to what God is saying. He may seem silent regarding specific requests, but He's always in a constant state of communication with us. You know, it may be that we're just too busy. That happens sometimes. Boy, when we were in Pennsylvania, it seemed like, boy, everything was so laid back there. And it was like, man, we don't have enough to keep us busy. I mean, it was really laid back and there wasn't hardly any demands. And then we come out here to the Northwest. I mean, everything is going on out here and we're living busy lives. And I'm thinking Monday night we have Trail Live. Tuesday night, my wife and I go out and make visits for those that come to visit the church. Wednesday night's church. Thursday night's soul winning. Friday night, sometimes we'll have people over at our house. Saturday is bus calling and you're out making visits and trying to prepare for Sunday school. And then Sunday's church. Man, when do you have time to do anything? Seems like, man, it's go, 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 go all the time. And you got to prepare for all these things that go on at the same time. It's like, when do you get it done? When do people do that around here? And you get too busy sometimes that we can't even listen to God. Busyness is not godliness. Sometimes we're just too busy. It might be that we need to cut something out of our schedule so that we can walk with God. Sometimes we're too busy to pray. We're just too busy to read our Bible. We're too busy for church. We're too busy for our families. You know, I'm a workaholic by nature. Man, I remember my wife came to visit me one time in the sailor ministry out at in Hammond, Indiana. And we were just dating. Might have been engaged, I forget now. But she would come and visit me from Michigan, drive 4 hours, was it? 4 hours to come visit me. And I was so solid and so hooked in that sailor ministry, everything banked on me, I felt like, that I couldn't even give her the time of day when she drove 4 hours to come spend some time with me. Praise God, she still married me. But you know what? We're just too busy for family. I think I've had two times where I've been down here outside of our schedule that I can remember working on some maintenance things, working in the gym, put the basketball hoop one time up on a Saturday. And then I think last Friday, I think it was, my boys and I came down and put trim around the gym and everything like that. But you know what? I would stay late hours working to get the job done. That was my mindset. Hey, listen, our families are important. You better take time for your family. We're too busy sometimes for our families. We're too busy sometimes to hear from God. Hey, if you're going to hear God, you're going to have to listen. Because it's a still, small voice. And sometimes we got to slow down a little bit and just get along with God. You know, I'm a little weird, I guess, but I read my Sunday school lesson once or twice throughout the week just to read through it. I don't get a whole lot out of it. But I have to get up Sunday morning early, 3:30, 4 o'clock. I've been doing this for years, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and study my Sunday school lesson. You know why? That's the only quiet time I have in my house. And I got to get alone with God. Man, I'm going through that lesson, and I'm begging God. God, I know my mind. God, I don't know the Bible like I wish I knew the Bible. God, I don't know how to help these people like I want to. And I spend most of my time, God, please help me. Please help me. God, please help me to give them something that'll help their lives. Please, God. God, it may not be articulated well, but please allow the Holy Spirit to just do something with this lesson. And I'm begging God to just do something with us. I don't know what God's going to do, but that's my prayer when I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, just begging God, please, God, help me to get through this. And I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I question God. I'm like, God, why do you have me in the ministry? Not that I'm going to quit, but why me, God? Man, with my brain just doesn't. I feel this way a lot. Where, Lord, how do you use my brain to make anything happen? And I'm not trying to tear myself down. I'm just telling you what this is reality for me. I'm thinking, God, please, in spite of what I am. By the way, it's a good place to be when you get to that place to where you have to have God. And I'll go back to that. It's like, man, I'm so glad I'm the way I am, because if I was doing it in my own power, man, I'd mess everything up. And we need God. We need to hear from God. But sometimes we're just too busy. Maybe we've already told God no. Because God won't give us a new direction until we accomplish what He's told us to do. Jonah said no, and he ended up in the belly of the whale. Next thing here, and I've got to move along here. Recognize that silence can be intimate. You know, maybe God wants it to be that way. You ever been to, I know the way my grandparents were. We would go to my grandparents' house and we'd sit there on the couch and they'd watch television. They'd never say anything to each other. I'd never seen my grandparents kiss each other. Never seen them hug each other. And I'm thinking, do they even love each other? You know what I'm saying? But there was a bond there like you wouldn't believe. They didn't have to say anything. You know, sometimes when you're around somebody that you're just comfortable with, somebody that you genuinely love and have a deep, abiding love for, you don't have to say anything. And sometimes I wonder if that's what God just wants us, just to spend time with Him, and we don't have to necessarily hear from God. It might be during those times that God feels like He can trust us. When you're completely comfortable with a person, it's possible to sit in a room together and not utter a word. God may be putting our faith to the test during those times. In those dark, lonely moments, we must come to grips with the reality of our faith. When everything else fails, faith hangs on to the end. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And it may be that God is just trying to put you in a place to where He's trying your patience. He's trying to help you with your patience. Romans 5:3-6 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due times, Christ died for the ungodly. And sometimes the tribulation has to come our way, and we wonder, where is God during these times? And He's just working in our lives. Hey, listen, don't ever quit on God. Think of all the great men and women of the Bible that trusted Him in spite of their circumstance. Abraham believed he would receive the promised land, even though he didn't get to see it in his lifetime. Job trusted God despite of losing his children, his fortune, and his health. Joseph remained faithful, though he was sold into slavery, falsely accused, and sent to prison. Moses gave up the riches of Egypt to become the servant of God. Gideon overcame his cowardice to win a great victory. David abandoned himself to God, even though Saul sought to slay him. Peter overcame the failure of his denial and publicly proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ. Paul survived imprisonment, shipwreck, and persecution to win the world to Christ. Hey, there's other people that have gone through some of these things. And then number five, keep talking to God. When God's silent, just keep talking to Him. You know, I recommend to you, if you read your Bible, I think you ought to read your Bible every day, whether you get something out of it or not. And you just keep on reading your Bible. Boy, if you don't have a Bible reading schedule, if you don't have a time when you, hey, you find a time where you read your Bible just faithfully. Because if you keep reading your Bible and you keep crying out to God, even though you feel like maybe God's not working in your life, you just keep doing it. And you go after God and say, God, I need you to do something in my life. And you pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And you pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you read the Bible. And God will do something. Hey, you just be faithful. That's why it's faithful you come to church. Hey, every time the doors are open, you ought to be in church, because it may be that one time you're in church where God grabs a hold of your heart and does something with you. And you missed it if you weren't there. Hey, you read your Bible, because that may be the morning that you needed to read exactly what God had for you. But if you don't show up and read that, you missed out. Keep talking to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean that you should doubt Him or stop praying. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We notice in our psalm that we looked at, Psalm 13, when David was praying, he just kept praying. He just kept praying. He just kept praying. During these crises times that we go through in our lives, God wants to use these to bring glory to Himself. The first thing is, our crisis will help us to discover who we really are. We'll either rise to the occasion or we'll collapse under the pressure. Hey, God wants us to rise to the occasion. You'll find out who you really are. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Second thing is, your crisis will force you to God. Every time there is trouble, every time trouble comes, you have to be at a point of decision. It'll cause you to make a decision. It'll force you to decide, am I going to choose God, or am I going to choose the world, or am I going to choose the flesh? We can either allow our problems to make us better, or we can allow them to make us bitter. The choice is up to us. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You get to choose. We get to choose if God's going to work in our life. We get to choose the Spirit, or we can choose the flesh. And by the way, if you don't choose the Spirit, your flesh is going to take over. It's just the way it is. That's why we got to walk with God. That's why we got to choose the Spirit. Job faced crises after crises after crises. But he said this here. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Hey, listen, folks. We're going to go through those dry times. We just got to keep going. Man, we just got to keep trusting God. We just got to keep plugging along. God's always in control. God has control of the reins. He'll direct us as He sees fit. And then thirdly, your crisis can become a testimony of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4, and I'm almost done. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. Get this here, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, a lot of times God has to put us through different things that we don't understand what's going on. We're thinking we're going nuts. We're thinking, man, where's God during those times? And sometimes we have to go through those times because down the road, you're going to help somebody else that's going to go through that exact same thing. Hey, we all face the same things. And so rise up. Endure that crisis. When you think God is not there, realize He is. And just trust God through it. The Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It may be that we just have to humble ourselves enough to go to God, ask for His help, and allow Him to work in our lives. 1 Corinthians, and this is the last verse I'll give you. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." Hey, just keep going. You may be discouraged. You may think that what you're doing is not worth anything. But it is. It's worth it. And you just keep going. God, where are you at? He's there. You just keep praying. You just keep reading your Bible. You just keep walking with God. You just keep going soul winning. But you don't understand what I'm going through. We don't have to understand that. God is always in control. But you don't understand, I'm not adequate. Doesn't matter. God is. God's in control of our lives. And we just have to learn to trust Him every step of the way, every day.